This is Learning Module 2. It provides you with the 7 basic techniques for instruction to increase your resident's ADL independence. If you recall from Module 1, ADLs are activities of daily living, like bathing, showering, eating, and washing your face and hands. In the previous learning module, we have already discussed why independence is so important. If you recall, we had talked about how you would feel if you had hurt your arm and could not brush your hair and had to ask for assistance. You'd feel, what, sad, frustrated, depressed? Then we talked about the fact that a resident in your assisted living facility may have those same feelings. He or she, too, may feel sad, frustrated, and depressed because of feelings of being in a helpless or even childlike role. This tape gives you the 7 basic techniques regarding the use of instruction in such a way that it fosters and encourages ADL independence rather than dependence. The challenge for some caregivers in fostering or encouraging resident independence is that, especially if you are new to healthcare and working with the elderly, you may feel uncomfortable to stand by and watch while your resident struggles with the button while dressing, or to reach their arm high enough to brush their hair. And yes, initially it is much easier and far much quicker for you to do for your resident or tenant. But what unfortunately occurs is the more you do for someone, the less they feel like doing for themselves and like they're capable of doing. Rather than assisting them to do for themselves, you may start them on a slide or a spiral into dependence if you do too much. After a period of time, as the resident takes on a dependent mindset, their self-esteem and self-worth slips, and they end up doing less and less, hardly an environment of success. So a resident who could brush her hair and wash her face is now stating she can't do this on her own and ask for help. In the long run, what appears to save you time, or perhaps as a reaction to your discomfort in watching a resident struggle using shaky, stiff hands and fingers, by doing an ADL task for your resident, ends up depriving them of their independence and a feeling of success and accomplishment. And don't we all need that? Question 1. 2 reasons to do an ADL for your resident rather than assist them to do it for themselves are what? Question 2. When you do for a resident, you deprive them of an opportunity to experience what? Hopefully, you've read these 2 questions, and as I've instructed the content, you already know the answers. Now you've answered questions 1 and 2, read ahead for question 3, and listen for the answer. Let me give you an example closer to home of ADL dependence. Have you ever taken your child out for ice cream? Sure you have. Let's say in the past you've always bought the medium-sized cone for him or her. Then this particular day, without giving any reason, you decide to buy your child an extra-large cone. Now, you tell me, what do you think your child is going to expect the next time you go out for ice cream? You guessed it, an extra large cone. In short, if there is no reason or instruction given, the more you do for someone, the more they expect you to do. It's just human nature. Now, if you were to have given an explanation or instruction about the reason before purchasing the cone, it's less likely that the expectation level would have been as great. Would your child be less likely to expect all future cones to be extra large if you would have said something like, because you made an A on the spelling test this time, I'm going to do something special? Because of your expectation level or instructions prior to purchasing your child's cone, the expectation level is more in line, and he or she will not expect all future cones to be extra large. Agree? Now, at this point in the tape, you're probably wondering, what does ice cream cones and your child have to do with the resident in your ALF? Well, here's the point to be made. With your resident, you can provide instructions one of two ways. First of all, you can set your instructions up so that the resident expects you to do more and more. Or secondly, you can state your instructions in such a manner that encourage your resident to be doing as much as possible for themselves and fostering that environment of success. Here are 7 techniques for giving ADL instruction to encourage independence by the mere manner in which you give your instructions. Technique number 1 involves initiating the instruction to do an ADL with your resident. The initiation or introduction of an ADL poses the challenging question. When you approach your resident to do an ADL, like washing his or her face, do you ask a question like, "Are you ready?" Or do you tell the resident, "It's time to wash your face?" Now, to facilitate or increase your resident's independence and uphold your ALF's policy of independence, dignity, and choice, ask your resident if he or she wants to do something, rather than to tell them. Let's say you have a resident in room 107, and her name is Clarice. Rather than telling, ask, "Clarice, are you ready for lunch?" Or, "Are you ready to wash your face?" Asking, of course, gives your resident a feeling of choice, dignity, and most of all, independence. Question 3. When you what your resident, you give them a choice. Fill in the blank. All of this seems all but a little too obvious. However, initiating instruction by the offering of choice is not as simple as it seems. What if your resident is in the early stages of Alzheimer's and is forgetful? Many residents learn to cover up their lack of understanding by answering yes to most questions they're asked. So, key point number 1 regarding questions is ask yourself, is this resident alert enough to benefit from being offered a choice? Learning Module 4 on verbal prompts will give some very detailed techniques regarding the use of questions. Therefore, the resident with Alzheimer's is more likely to experience success if he or she is told it's time to wash your face or it's time to brush your hair. Question 4. Under what conditions is it sometimes better to tell your resident rather than to ask regarding ADLs? How do you know exactly where to draw the line, whether to tell or ask? As a rule of thumb, to support resident independence, ask first. Then, if when you look in Clarice's eyes, they have a puzzled or vacant expression, or she hesitates to take action, shift gears and tell her it's time to wash your face. Question 5. How can you decide if a resident should be told or asked about ADLs? Instructional technique number 2 deals with judging the alertness level of your resident. Here's an ambulation example. As you are ready to assist Clarice to rise from her chair to walk to lunch, observe her eyes to check alertness at the time you are giving instructions. In looking at her eyes, notice 2 things, how wide open they are and if they have a focused look. The warning here, of course, falls prevention. Clarice has been sitting half dozing in her chair in her room. Sound familiar? First, before you assist her to rise, look at her eyes. Are they still only 3/4 of the way open, indicating she still may be mentally in a fog? Secondly, as you ask her, "Are you ready to go to lunch?" Do her eyes move in your direction? Does she have direct eye contact with you? As you know all too often, residents who are shaky upon rising from a chair are at risk for falls. The risk can be greatly decreased if you make it a habit to really look at your resident's eyes. Question 6. In checking your resident's eyes for alertness, notice what two things? If your resident's eyes seem to indicate that she isn't to full alertness yet, talk to the resident for a few minutes until he or she seems to come to full alertness. Clarice will be much more likely to be able to rise independently if she is fully awake and alert, and much less at risk for a fall. Question 7. If the resident is not at full alertness, what should you do? Question 8. As you introduce an ADL to your resident, especially where there is a risk for a fall, make sure he or she is what? So we've talked about introducing ADL instructions by the use of questions versus being told, and waiting to initiate the ADL instruction until the resident is as alert as possible. Instructional technique number 3 is to give step-by-step instructions. For example, as you know, the steps in washing a resident's face who is unable to do so are as follows. Drape a towel around her neck, then turn on the water, adjust the temperature and flow, wet the washcloth, wring out excess moisture, put soap on the cloth, proceed to wash the resident's face from the inner to the outer periphery of the face, forehead, cheeks, and chin, rinse, then dry with the towel. Let's say you have a resident, Mary, who has had a stroke which affects her left hand. Now, to provide an environment of success, instead of doing all of these steps and washing her face for her, you turn the water on, you adjust the flow and temperature, you wet the cloth and wring it out. Then, hand Mary the cloth in her right hand, put soap on the cloth, and since Mary is slightly forgetful, you might then instruct her by saying, "Mary, wash your forehead." Good. Now your right cheek. Now your chin. Great job washing your face. That's good exercise for your hand and your arm. Since Mary can only use her right hand and has limited range of motion in her right arm, you wash her left cheek for her. And follow a similar procedure for rinsing and drying, with Mary taking parts in the steps that she's able. It goes without saying it's faster and easier to wash Mary's face for her. But remember my story about the ice cream cone and your child earlier? The more you do for someone, the less they feel they can do for themselves. If you jump in and do for Mary, she does less and less and less for herself. I'm sure you, like I, have seen many residents slide downhill into more and more dependence with no real physical reason. The key to remember with step-by-step instruction is only do for a resident what they cannot do for themselves. However, in order to be able to do this, you need to be able to look in an ADL and break it down into steps. Then take each step and ask yourself, what piece or what part of this ADL could the resident be doing themselves? Question 9. The key to remember with step-by-step instruction is only do for a resident what they, what, fill in the blank. Instructional technique 4 is called fading and goes hand in hand with technique 3, step-by-step instruction. Fading refers to fading out or withdrawing instruction or verbal prompts as soon as your resident is on the right track. So observe closely and adjust your step-by-step instruction to your resident's ability level. Give instruction only if the resident appears to be hesitating and is unsure what to do. The key to providing an environment of success with the fading technique is to watch what Mary does with her hands as she washes her face. If upon getting soap on the cloth, she readily washes her forehead, cheeks, and chin, fade out, or in other words, don't provide verbal prompts like, now your cheek, now your chin, if she doesn't need them. If you provide too much step-by-step instruction, depending upon Mary's alertness level, she may feel insulted, as if you are treating her like a child. Going to the extreme, if over-instruction is given on a consistent basis, she may become depressed and actually feel mentally incompetent. Question 10. Fading refers to fading out or withdrawing of instruction or verbal prompts as soon as your resident is what? Question 11. The key to providing an environment of success with the fading technique is to watch what about your resident? Think about yourself for a minute. Have you ever had someone over-explain something to you as if you didn't have a brain in your head? How did you feel? Angry? Frustrated? If they continued, did you start to doubt your own mental capability? Well, the same is true of your residents. So in Technique 4, it's very important to fade out or not use verbal prompts or other forms of assistance if they're not needed. Question 12. The excess or inappropriate use of verbal prompts in step-by-step instruction can cause a resident to feel how? Instructional Technique 5 is called Repeat, Then Change. Here's how it works. If Mary appears to have repeated difficulty understanding a particular word or phrase in your ADL instructions, a rule of thumb is, after you have repeated the same phrase like, let's go to dinner, two or three times, you might find a different way of saying it. State the first small step in the task by saying to Mary, stand up, now it's time for dinner. Do you see how I took the first small step of standing up rather than just saying it's time for dinner? Now, here's an example I'll bet you can relate to. Have you ever asked an explanation of an auto repair person regarding your car and it sounds like they're speaking another language? When you ask for an explanation, they just repeat the same words you didn't understand in the first place, or worse still, raise the volume of their voice and repeat the same words? How did you feel? Helpless, hopeless, unable to understand what was going on with your car repair, and perhaps misunderstood and frustrated. I know I have. Unfortunately, if a resident has difficulty understanding what you're saying, instead of admitting it, they may just say they don't want to or they can't do something. So the key to remember is, if you get a refusal, try presenting your resident with the first small step in the ADL. Technique 5, as a rule of thumb, repeat an ADL request 2 to 3 times, like, it's time for lunch. If your resident's lack of movement indicates they do not understand, request the resident do the first small step in performing the ADL, like, Mr. Jones, stand up now, it's time for lunch. Question 13. If you get a refusal to do an ADL, present your resident with what? Instructional Technique 6, avoid quick changes in the topic. Many ALF residents who are becoming forgetful or are in the early stages of Alzheimer's have problems shifting gears to new topics quickly. That is, if you're talking about washing the resident's face, complete that topic before talking about brushing their hair. And when you do make a topical switch, create an environment of success by using a verbal signpost, and the resident will be better able to follow your thought transition. Now, by verbal signpost, what do I mean? If you signal the change in ADL topic by saying something like, "Let's brush your hair now," and then proceed to explain the steps, as opposed to just moving to the next ADL. Setting up definite transitions or verbal signposts are invaluable to someone with Alzheimer's disease who has an interrupted thought process. We have a separate training series that deals with Alzheimer's techniques, but here's an overview of the problem. The damage Alzheimer's does to the brain has been described as a switchboard that is transferring calls to the wrong location. The disease actually creates holes in the surface of the brain. For this reason, the key to remember here is remain on one topic at a time, and when you do move to the next topic, signal the change by stating, "Let's talk about thus and so." Question 14. Verbal signposts signal a change in what? Technique 7. One last instructional technique that is invaluable, especially with ambulation assistance, is single-word instructions. For example, for the resident who recently has started to use a cane, use single-word instructions. They will greatly assist you. For example, you would say, "Step, cane, step, cane." Or in the case of a transfer where a pivot onto the toilet is needed, you can assist the resident by providing instructions like stand, step, grab safety bar, turn, 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 step back, sit. As you know, resident alertness level may vary from one time of day to the next, so be prepared to give one-word instructions to facilitate, maintain, and encourage your resident ADL independence. Question 15. Single-word instructions are a great assistance, especially in what? In summary, the 7 instructional techniques to provide an environment of success are, number 1, when possible, ask your resident to do an ADL. Do not tell them. Then evaluate understanding. Technique number 2, when initiating instruction, observe your resident's eye openness and eye contact as an indicator of their alertness level before proceeding with further ADL instructions. This alertness check is especially important for falls prevention during transfers and ambulation. Technique 3. Think of your ADL instruction in terms of a series of individual steps. Give instruction and assistance only for the steps that the resident requires assistance. Technique 4. Fading. Fade out instruction if it's not needed. Get in the habit of evaluating a resident's ability each time you work with them and look for ways to support and encourage their independence. Technique 5, as a rule of thumb, repeat an ADL request 2 to 3 times, like, "It's time for lunch." If your resident's lack of movement indicates they do not understand, request the resident do the first small step in performing the ADL, like, "Mr. Jones, stand up now. It's time for lunch." Technique 6. Use a verbal signpost to signal a change in topics. Technique 7. Use one-word instruction to aid transfers, ambulations, and other ADLs. Words like stand, sit, turn, and so on help to promote your resident's movements. Use a word, then evaluate the ones that make the ADL performance easiest for your resident. In Learning Module 3, you'll learn about the use of demonstration.